World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
In 2008, Glenn Hansard and Marketa Erglova of The Swell Season were experiencing a whirlwind of sudden success. They'd won the Oscar for Best Song for this track, Falling Slowly, from the movie Once, which they also co-starred in. For Glenn, it was the payoff after decades of working at music. For Marketa, a 19-year-old student, it was a bit different.
For me, so much of the time, it felt like being on Glenn's journey, you know, that I was just kind of tagging along. It was a while before I kind of felt like it was my own as well.
In 2009, they took a break from The Swell Season. Since then, their lives and their relationship have changed a lot. Coming up, Glenn and Marketa join me to talk about their new album together, and Glenn talks about one of the new songs where Marketa took the lead.
I just heard Mara play this song one time at a gig, and we were kind at the time talking about making a record, and I was like, what's that song? Like, okay, that's definitely going on the record. I fought for it.
The Swell Season, today. I'm Rena Duris. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. The DFL filed a campaign finance complaint against Senate District 6 Republican candidate Carrie Heintzman Thursday, alleging she violated contribution limits. State statute limits individual contributions in state Senate races to $1,000, but the complaint states Heintzman accepted $2,000 from 9 separate donors, according to her public campaign finance report. In the release, DFL Chairman Richard Carlbaum says, quote, Carrie Heintzman broke the laws to advance her campaign and has no business serving in the legislature. But Heintzman tells KAXE she was assured she is not violating the law by the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board.
They can go ahead. I did double check with Campaign Finance.
She also shared the email she received from a legal analyst there, which appears to confirm her statement. Because she collected donations before Governor Tim Walz issued the writ for the special election to fill former State Senator Justin Eichhorn's seat, $1,000 from each of those donors technically apply toward a 2026 run. Heintzman says she did not know this was possible until earlier this year, when a different special election took place in the Minnesota House. That election occurred between Republican Paul Wickstrom and DFLer David Gottfried in March.
I didn't know about this until I worked on the Wickstrom special election, where his campaign discovered that is how it works.
The 9 donors come from 4 different families, all current or former business owners, primarily in northern Minnesota. None of these donors will be able to contribute more to Heintzman before the 2026 election. 2 of the most accessible locations for Boundary Waters Canoe Area wilderness visitors to pick up their permits won't be an option this paddling season. Boundary Waters media company Paddle and Portage reports the Gunflint Ranger Station in Grand Marais and the Kuishewi in Ely won't be issuing permits this year due to ongoing Forest Service budget and staffing woes. Permits are always needed to enter the wilderness, and permits must be reserved May through September. Visitors must schedule a place to pick up their permits. As of Wednesday, roughly 5,500 permit pickups will need to be moved from the 2 ranger stations. The bulk are expected to be handled by various outfitters and other small businesses near the BWCAW. Paddle and Portage says the Tofty Ranger Station will likely be bustling this summer. The Tofty Ranger Station will be open Wednesday through Sunday, meaning there won't be a ranger station on the east side of the wilderness issuing permits on Mondays or Tuesdays. While there are numerous outfitters in Ely that have the ability to issue permits, there is just 1 in Grand Marais proper and 1 in the Tofty Ranger District. Outfitters told Paddle and Portage that the influx of permit pickups could be good for business, but they also expressed concerns about how the change will impact staff, as the process can take up to 30 minutes and may lead to bottlenecks in stores. There's also concern that Forest Service staffing challenges may lead to minimal to non-existent Portage trail maintenance in the wilderness this season. As the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame's board of directors weighs moving the museum from Eveleth to St. Paul, Iron Rangers are coming together to keep it where they say it belongs.
It's the heritage of the whole thing. I mean, it's been there since the 70s.
Daniel Hiroshak is an organizer of the Rangers United for the Hockey Hall of Fame rally, which is Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. at the museum.
There's like 16 people from Eveleth that are in the Hockey Hall of Fame. You know, everyone I talk to, they're very angry about it if they do move. You know, it's very worrisome.
Since the news of the museum's possible move broke about a month ago, Northland legislators from both parties have spoken out in opposition. The board is reportedly split on the move. Proponents argue that including the museum in a proposed Xcel Energy Center redevelopment would draw more foot traffic.
I think it's basically kind of more of a money grab than anything else.
Hiroshak says the possible move brings back memories of dark days in Minnesota's hockey history.
They're moving that now, you know, just out of nowhere. It's kind of felt like, you know, the North Star is getting, you know, taken away, you know what I mean?
He says the community should come together Saturday in a show of solidarity. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Glenn Hansard and Marketa Urglova have been through a lot together. First, they were musical partners, releasing their first album as the duo, The Swell Season, in 2006. Then, they were co-stars in the Irish film Once, about two musicians who fall in love. And during the filming of that movie, they fell in love. Then, they were Oscar winners, sharing the award for Best Original Song for the Once track, Falling Slowly. This all happened in the span of about 2 years. It was intense. Their romantic relationship ended not long after, and The Swell Season released their album Strict Joy in 2009. It may have seemed like that was it, but the bond Glenn and Marketa have as songwriters never went away. Now they're coming back with a new album on June 13th. It's the first in 16 years from The Swell Season, and it's called Forward. Coming up, they'll talk about moving forward as artists, they'll look back on their experiences together, and they'll perform songs both new and old. It all starts with a performance of a song from their 2006 self-titled album. Here's When Your Mind's Made Up, The Swell Season, live for the World Cafe.
If you ever want something, and you call, then I'll come running to fight, and I'll be at your door when there's no one worth running for. When your mind's made up. When your mind's made up, there's no point trying to change it. When your mind's made up, when your mind's made up, there's no point even talking. You see, you're just like anyone when the chips fall. All you wanna do is run away, yeah, and hide all by yourself where there's no one who's gonna run to help. When your mind's made up, when your mind's made up, there's no point trying to fight it. When your mind's made up, when your mind's made up, there's no point even talking. When your mind, when your mind.
you ever want something and you call, you call, and I'll come running.
The Swell Season, performing live for the World Cafe. That was When Your Mind's Made Up from their 2006 self-titled album. They're back with a new album called Forward. I'm Raina Duris, and the Swell Season's Glenn Hansard and Marketa Urglova are my guests today. Glenn, Marketa, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're going to talk about the new album that you're getting ready to release in a few minutes, but that song that we heard is from 2006, before your lives took a pretty remarkable turn. You starred in the movie Once, won an Oscar for your song Falling Slowly that you're going to play for us in a bit. When that was all happening, I would imagine it must have felt a little overwhelming. You have some distance from that time now, about 15 years. When you think back on it now, how does it make you feel?
It really makes me proud, you know, thinking back on it. Grateful that we got to experience something so life-changing and wonderful and just purely positive. I love that it's still part of our lives, that we still get to play this music, that it still connects with people. You know, it really feels like a gift, and it always has.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, for me, I remember, so 2007, did we win it? We won it in 2007, didn't we?
I think the ceremony was 2008.
2008,
was
it?
Like the 2007 Oscars
gotcha.
Right. Given out,
gotcha.
You know.
So I was 38 when we won it then. And we made the film when I was 35. And I remember at the time just having been in a band for a long time and, you know, kind of out there and working and touring and trying to make things happen, that when we made this film, it was kind of like almost, it wasn't like an afterthought, but we made it with our friend and we made it in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. And it was just a kind of a really easy experience. And for it to kind of gain such momentum and for it ultimately to be a complete change of life moment was just so wonderful. And a bit of good news right when I needed to hear it. If I could kind of point to the thing that was the most important for me, was that we suddenly had an audience.
Yeah.
And what a joy to be able to come and play in front of people. And that's been the thing that's maintained, thank goodness.
You mentioned, you know, you were in a band before. You'd been kind of grinding away at becoming a known musician the way that you now are, I guess. You were both coming at it from very different perspectives. I mean, Marketa, you were just starting out when all of this sudden kind of fame and success happened. What was it like watching each other go through that?
You started on this one.
Well, we dealt with it differently. I mean, it was kind of... Like for me, it was like, yes, I just had that moment of like, oh yeah, thank God. And you know, everyone assumes that once you kind of achieve your moment that you get to sit back, relax and take a year off or whatever. No, it's like you get busier and busier. And I think we got so busy that at one point, I think that we were like, you know, to say the wheels were coming off was just a bit kind of, is a bit much, but we definitely were. I remember there was a moment where we were both exhausted.
Yeah. Right.
When I look back at the video from the Oscars when our names are announced, you know, what I see in myself still is the thing that I remember, that I like looked right at you and I was just overcome with mostly joy for you, knowing, you know, your background and knowing how much it meant to you. Like you say to me, it felt like being on Glenn's journey, you know, that I was just kind of tagging along. It was a while before I kind of felt like it was my own as well.
When did you start to feel like it was your own as well?
I think I made like a conscious decision somewhere along the kind of touring the world post-Oscars, because it felt like such a whirlwind at first and I wasn't sure if this was something I could get used to. Like, can I hold on to this? Will it last? You know, or should I kind of remain, just sort of take it a day at a time? And at some point during the tour, like it started to feel like, I started feeling at home with it. Like I knew my place within it. I was really enjoying the kind of community of and the family of the band and the music and kind of, you know, and just as I got comfortable in it, it was over in the typical fashion, you know.
Yeah.
I should give folks context, in case they don't know, during that time, you were creative partners. You were also romantic partners at that point. And I know that you were asked a lot about that when mm-hmm. it was happening. I'm not going to make you rehash a whole bunch of stuff, but I am curious. How did you deal with having that relationship suddenly become a very public thing? There's a movie where you're together and you are actually together, you know, mm-hmm. and suddenly you're in the spotlight like that.
It was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable in the way that it would be uncomfortable for anyone. But me and Mar were just kind of, we were a team. We were like, we were great friends first and foremost. So we kind of knew how to, as long as we were okay, everything was okay, you know, and that's, you know, that's the, you know, the connection was deeper than any particular aspect of what the connection was, whether mm-hmm. it was romantic or not. It was like, no, we're friends from a different, on a different level. It's not just, you know, one or the other. So no, it was, it felt, it was kind of awkward, but then it was also, you know, once we had taken a little time away from Swell Season, it didn't take us long to get our friendship back. Yeah.
We'll talk a little more about when you kind of came back together in a minute. You're going to perform the song Falling Slowly for us next. And it's the song that you won the Oscar for Best Song. I know that when you won the Oscar, your career's obviously got a big boost from that. But how did it change your life on a personal level? Did people treat you differently when you went back home?
Well, I didn't really have a career. Like, that's why I say that it felt like I was on Glenn's journey, because I was just in school and this was something I got to do on the side. And I was shocked with, like, you know, the media can be so aggressive the way they respond so that took me a little bit of time to get used to. But from people, I always just kind of felt this kind of feeling of like, wow, we're so proud, you know, of you, like of you, like achieving this for our country. You know, it's a big deal. The Oscar is a huge deal to everyone. It's totally universal. And the Oscar itself is a kind of a golden key that opens many, many doors, you know. So thankfully, my experience with it has been mainly positive. Mm. How about you, Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, no, it didn't really change anything in terms of my life. I kind of kept my life sort of kind of the same. Obviously, you know, there was a little moment of struggle slightly afterwards of like, you know, when you've been in a band for all this time and, you know, it's kind of you against the world and you and your mates against the world and me and Mar against the world when we were making that first record. And then suddenly for it to have all that success, it was definitely a kind of an adjustment period where I was like, I don't quite know how to deal. I don't know who I am in this. I don't know who I am in relation to all of this. And then it took about a year, I'd say, of being kind of a little uncomfortable with it. And then sort of going, well, look, just get on with the work. The best thing to do is just knuckle down now and make more songs. Right. That, you know, it's just get on with it and get, you know, it didn't actually change anything in a lot of ways and changed everything in some ways.
Sure. That's so interesting, though, the idea that you relate to the world as an underdog and then suddenly it's like you've won the biggest prize
exactly.
you could win. It's like, what do I do now?
Well, they do say that if you, you know, if you're used to struggling and that's kind of your pattern, you know, that you will struggle with the success too.
Yeah.
You know, that's just
struggle's
something.
Struggle's your mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we hear you play, does performing this song bring you back to that time at all, or has the meaning changed for you over the years as you play it?
It's changed for me, although it's almost like once you write a song, you kind of, like every time you play it after that, you're just kind of, you go back to a moment. I remember a moment in Czech Republic with Mar when we came up with the chorus. So I always remember that moment when Marquetta sang the low harmony and I sang the high harmony, and there was a kind of a moment where I was like, "Ooh, this is a good song." It just I'll never forget that feeling. I remember your parents listening to us play it, and it was kind of just like, "Ooh, you know, that feels like a good song." So I always remember that moment somehow when I'm singing it.
Yeah. We'll come back in just a moment. We'll talk about the new album from the Swell Season. But right now, here they are performing Falling Slowly live for the World Cafe.
falling slowly, eyes that know me, and I can't go back. Well, you have suffered enough and warred with yourself. It's time that you won.
Live for the World Cafe, The Swell Season, performing Falling Slowly from their 2006 self-titled debut, also from the soundtrack to the movie Once. I'm Raina Duras. My guests today are Glenn Hansard and Marketa Erglova of The Swell Season. They have a new album called Forward, their first in more than 15 years. The last time you were on this show was, I think, 2009. I think that was when you actually were on it, and it was to promote Strict Joy. Was there a time between that last album and tour and this one when you weren't really in touch at all?
I mean, probably a couple of years. But actually, the record I made a record in 2010, my first solo record, and Marketa sang on it. You came to New York, remember, and you sang on it. And then I made another record in 2014 and Marketa sang on it. And I was on tour a couple of years ago. And I remember being in Los Angeles and I remember calling Maren just saying, do you want to, because I hadn't seen her in years. And I was like, do you want to do some gigs just to get back together and hang out? And, you know, I missed those songs. I missed that feeling. And she was like, yeah, cool. So we organized a tour and we just went out. And once we started playing songs on stage again, of course, new songs started to emerge. And then we said, well, why don't we just, do you want to go in and record with no expectation on what it'll be? Let's just go in and record some songs. And
right, you thought it was just going to be a few songs that you were going to do, not a full album. So it didn't take you too long to get back into the groove of working together.
No. There's a lovely thing in collaboration. Like, I mean, I'll, like, generally speaking, won't play much at home if I'm alone. And if I'm making a record alone, I don't really play. I need a sounding board. I need someone to play the ideas off. And so when Mara and I sat down, Mara's very good at kind of sort of gently saying, that could be a bit better, or maybe we could. And so there was a kind of a very quickly, the songs, when I took out my half-formed ideas, they very quickly became solid songs. Because Mara would be like, well, the kids are coming home at 1:30, let's get that song recorded by then. Right. So you'd have to sit down and write the lyric, and you know, so there was a sort of an urgency, which I really enjoy when it's there, because it's not naturally there in my life.
Yeah, I mean, how's your songwriting process together changed, or is it sort of more or less the same as when you started?
I'd say it's different in so much as when we started, Mar had only begun to write songs, and so, I mean, you could hear my influence in Mar's songs, because I would have been like, you know, why don't you try this, or maybe that line, or whereas Mar's songwriting has, you know, has gone through the roof since then. So now, with Mar's ideas, I had very little input. On my ideas, Mar had input, but on hers, I pretty much, you know, my input was mostly aesthetic rather than lyrical or, you know, or musical.
You're listening to a session with Glenn Hansard and Marketa Urglova of The Swell Season. After the break, Marketa will talk about recording the new album with their respective families in a kind of musical commune. And you'll hear an exclusive World Cafe live version of one of their new songs. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. My guests are Glenn Hansard and Marketa Urglova of The Swell Season. The pair rose to fame when they won an Oscar for Best Song after starring in and making music for the 2007 film Once. They've announced a new album together due out June 13th. You'll hear them perform some new songs from it coming up. It is called Forward, and it's the first album from The Swell Season in 16 years.
You're both in very different places in your lives than from when you made your first first couple of albums. How did you balance making this record with kids, families, living in different countries? How did that work?
I feel like the reason it worked is because now we have, both of us have families, you know, so by the time we ended up in the studio together and on the road, we were both parents. So there was a sort of an understanding of what that means, and like the concession that we would have had to make during the recording, you know, Glenn was sort of prepared for, because he was already sort of doing that, you know, with his son, as I was doing with my kids, and there was just a kind of a shift in rhythm, you know, in our lives, that's kind of focused on the family and what, you know, what you can do within that. And we managed to create this kind of utopian version of a musician's life, in fact, where we were staying in our home, which is like, we live on one floor of the studio, is on the upper floor. You know, Myra, Glenn's partner, was there with Christy. My kids were there. Mio was the producer, my husband, and the engineer. And everybody was just kind of there. And we had moments between recording or between writing where we'd be in the garden making a fire, or just sort of playing with the children, and or going for a walk. And those moments, the fact that it wasn't just totally separate, you know, that it's just like that, the fact that we could sort of mingle and that our families were part of this process, just kind of made it feel really like a living, breathing thing that felt very free and enjoyable. I think that influenced the record a lot, actually.
That sounds so nice, like a musical commune that you're living in.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lightness to the sessions that I really liked. But Mar, I have to say, like, managed to somehow, she had a camera, and she was just kind of filming little bits and pieces. It seemed to me like just filming the odd little thing that happened, and also, you know, it insisted on making dinner each night and then going and picking the kids up from school, and somehow has managed to make a whole film about the making of the record. And I don't even remember the camera being in her hand that much, but there's like a whole 40-minute documentary she's made. It's kind of hard for me to believe how much creative energy you were putting into that session, because I was there, and of course I was with Christy and Myra, and we were recording, but the amount of you seemed to just be on the whole time. It was incredible.
I know people are going to want to hear some of this new music now. Yeah. So you're going to play another live song for us, a new song from the album. And the first new song we're going to hear you play is People We Used to Be, which is a poignant line for a band who are back after 16 years away. What can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
There's a lot of nostalgia in this song for sure. You know, as the title suggests, it is about the fact that as people we change, you know, we grow. Like, we're just not the same people as we were when we met. This feels like the end of a chapter, but is this the end of us, you know? But also, like, over the course of the song, like, realizing that, no, this is something that I want to fight for, you know? It's a kind of a universal thing, like, all, like, long-term relationships have had this moment, you know, of like, either you kind of push through and you become something more, something better, stronger, you know? Something truer to yourselves and to each other, or you kind of give up and, you know, call it good. Yeah. You move in a different direction. So, yeah.
And I just heard Mara play this song one time at a gig. We were playing a gig and Mara just pulled this song out, and we were kind at the time talking about making a record, and I was like, what's that song? She's like, it's just something, you know. It's like... okay, that's definitely going on the record. I fought for it. So good.
Live for the World Cafe, the Swell Season with People We Used to Be.
How I miss the people we used to be, and all those things that you brought out of me. We're both different now, and times have changed. Even the best of friends can become estranged. Well, I am well aware that we cannot go back, but I will not stand by and watch this fire burn down everything we worked so hard to be. If you keep willing those flames to grow high, you know they
were easy once, when our hearts were lighter. We'd stay up talking late, put all the world to right. We got fair warning though, I may have spoke too soon. Something altogether unforeseen stepped into view. Well, I am well aware we can't go back there.
I will not stand by and watch this fire burn down everything we worked so hard to build. If you keep willing those flames to go high, you know they will. Down
people we used to be. That's The Swell Season in a live performance for the World Cafe. That song is on their new album, Forward. I'm Rena Duris. Glenn Hansard and Marketa Erglova of The Swell Season are my guests today. You both released solo work in the years between releasing Strict Joy and releasing this this album. What were you able to bring back from those experiences working on solo records when you started working together again?
I feel like, for me, the years I spent making my solo albums were really important for me, even though I probably wouldn't have kind of chosen that, you know, over just kind of being a duo. Like, it was a choice that came out of, you know, once I knew that The Swell Season was kind of taking a break slash was over. I was kind of thinking, you know, okay, what do I do now? I was only, you know, 20 years old probably, and I sort of thought, maybe I go to university, maybe I continue in music. I just wasn't sure, but I thought, okay, well, at least I'll make an album of the songs that I have kind of written, you know, on the road and over this past year or two, and then I'll see what happens. And once I made my record, I kind of realized, oh, this is meant to be part one of like a trilogy of records. So then that became sort of my goal. And over the course of making this trilogy of records, I felt like I was really sort of developing, you know, my voice sort of literally speaking and metaphorically speaking, just kind of like what it is that I wanted to say in the songs, you know, what it meant to me to be a songwriter. And I feel like after the process of that, when I came back to collaborating with Glenn, I kind of had a better idea of what it is that I bring to the table, you know, what it is that I have to offer. And there was kind of more confidence in that, which I think is a kind of a healthy thing, you know. So I feel like, yeah, that's it. It does, to me, it feels different. Like Glenn had always treated me as an equal, you know. He never treated me like, even though I always had much, much less experience, he never let me feel it, you know. He was just always like somebody that's an equal to him. So, but it's only now that I would kind of be anywhere feeling that myself, you know, as in comparison to back then.
Yeah. Glenn, would you say that you saw a difference in that confidence?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like Mara's songwriting and her skills and her skill sets and the way she handled herself in the studio, because they, you know, Mara lives in the studio, and they, you know, her recording technique, and but also her kind of let's get it done element is, because I love process. I'll sit in a studio for months and just be like, oh, I love the way that thing goes. Let's try to develop that idea a bit more. Whereas Mara was like, come on, let's go. Let's make a record. Boom.
Yeah. When you've worked together so closely and then your former bandmate releases a solo album, like how quickly would you go and be like, I'm going to go listen to that right now? Like, did you listen to the solo albums your other bandmate put out?
Yes, but not in a rush to, because you kind of, you know, you're just like, you know, you see, it's just because of the film and because of our history, you're always looking for yourself in the song. You're always thinking, this song's about me, or you know, even though you're not, even though you know, like, as you know, we've both moved on, but there is always that thing of like, but that song's about me.
You're close to it in a way. You're not close to other people's music.
Yeah, and it's not that it's not a particularly comfortable close. As in, like you're listening. It's almost like it's impossible for me to listen to Mara's music as if I didn't know her at all.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So there is that. Yeah, it's colored.
Did you?
Yeah, I always check out Glenn's record just like I would, you know, with my friends that like I'm close with, and I kind of want to stay in the picture of like what they're doing. But it you know, it is hard to listen to each other's records, because I think there's always a part of us that's kind of going like, oh, I wish he did that, you know, instead. And he's going to be thinking, oh, I wish he did that, or like, I wish it was more like that. Or, you know, we're always gonna like, I feel like we're sort of like, I always imagine us as the kind of yin and yang sign, you know, like it's the black and the white. And I, you know, whichever color I am, I bring a little bit of that into his color, and vice versa. And so, like, it's like magnets. Like, I will always have a tendency to want to bring it more into that than it just kind of staying with its own element, like that will be the place where I'll enjoy it, you know, because that's, we spend such a long time trying to do that with together that sometimes it feels like, you know, he'll go too far into the kind of raw, you know, area. And for him, I'll go too far into the lush, smooth, you know, area. So we'll be sort of critical of each other in that way. And it's hard not to be, but it's not so much as criticism. It's just, it's this kind of like, you know, it's a kind of trying to play with the elements in a way that you kind of bring it into the area that feels like that's where it was meant to be all along, you know? Does that make any sense?
It totally
makes sense.
No, it does. And also, like, I play you songs that, like, if I was making a record, I'd play Mar songs before the record was finished, and Mar would be like, oh, this one has to go on, or I like this one. And I always know that that's a, you know, you've done that throughout my kind of solo career. It's like, why didn't you put that one on? You know, and it was like, oh, because I was trying to do this rock and roll thing, you know. And she'd be like, no, I called it. That was the tune. You left it off. Your fault, you know.
Marketa Erglova and Glenn Hansard of The Swell Season are my guests today on World Cafe. The new album is called Forward. Is the title Forward an indication that you're planning to keep doing more of this, keep this project going now for a little while?
Well, it feels, you know, it's a kind of a suck it and see, isn't it? Like we'll see how it goes, we see how it feels, we play gigs, and you know, it's like all things, you kind of just follow the, you follow your gut on it, you know. So let's see.
Right? Interestingly, Forward is the title is because of a song that didn't end up being on the records. We had a song that was called Forward, and so we sort of named the in the making, like when it was still sort of deciding stages, we called the album Forward, and then the song was kind of kicked off, but the title remained. But then Glenn also has, you know, Stuck in Reverse, has the word Forward in it as well. For this, it makes sense because it's so open, you know, it can mean so many things, like that life doesn't go backwards, obviously. So you're going forward, and there's a promise of all the things that could mean, you know, but there isn't any commitment to either one of them, you know. Yeah. I like that it's open to interpretation while also having like a solid connection to the songs on the album and the ones that stayed off of it.
We are going to hear Stuck in Reverse. That's the last song you're going to play for us, which is an interesting title for a song on an album called Forward. because it seems like in this song that only one person is kind of moving forward in the lyrics. Could you talk about Stuck in Reverse before we hear you play it?
Yeah, I mean, Stuck in Reverse is not a song that it just sort of came to me. I didn't think too much about it. It was really more about somebody, not me, who's kind of stuck in a kind of a wish for a situation in a relationship, and you're just like, I'm really sorry. I'd love to be able to let you go, but I'm kind of just caught in this place. I apologize. It's kind of like, it's almost an apology for just being like, I just really want it to be like it was, or you know. So it's just a kind of a, it's almost metaphoric. I'm not like, some songs you're really in yourself. This one, it's like I'm playing a character, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Stuck in Reverse, performed live by The Swell Season on World Cafe.
One, two, three.
My love, can we go backwards? Back to the days before the going got rough. I know there's no going back now. I tried to move on, but stuck in reverse. So go, there's a world of changes, so many rivers still to get over, Rubicon still to cross, and I'll be picking up the pieces long after you've left, and long after you've gone.
There's no going back now. I tried to move on, but I got stuck in
Cafe. You just heard a live performance of Stuck in Reverse by The Swell Season. It's a song from their new album, Forward. The Swell Season's Glenn Hansard and Marketa Urglova have been my guests today. Thanks so much, you guys. This has been great.
Thank you.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break, you heard my session with The Swell Season. If you'd like to see Glenn Hansard and Marketa Urglova playing those songs live, you can find video of it at worldcafe.org. You can also find an extended cut of that interview where they talk more about their new album, and Marketa tells us what jobs she may have had if she hadn't been a musician. worldcafe.org. Now, Glenn and Marketa starred in the film Once, where they played musicians, kind of versions of themselves. Mick Jagger also did something kind of like that back in 1970. Played a rock star named Turner in the movie Performance. This is from that movie soundtrack. It's called Memo from Turner. Mick Jagger on the World Cafe.
Tonight I see you down in San Antonio on a hot and dusty night. We were eating eggs in Sammy's when the black man there drew his knife. Oh, you drowned that Jew in Rampton as he washed his sleeveless shirt. You know, that Spanish-speaking gentleman, the one that we all call Kurt. Come now, gentlemen, I know that's some mistake. How forgetful I'm becoming now, you fix your straight. I remember you in Hemlock Road, 1956. You're a little leather boy with a smaller piece of stick. Well, you're a lashing, smashing hunk of man. Your sweat shines sweet and strong. Your organ's working perfectly, but there's a part that's not screwed on. I want you at the Coke convention.
see heavily advertised. You're the great gray man whose daughter licks policeman's buttons clean. You're the man who squats behind the man who works the soft machine. Come now, gentlemen, your love is all I crave. You'll still be in the circus when I'm laughing. When the old men do the fighting, and the young men all look on, and the young girls eat their mother's meat from tubes of plasticon. Be wary, please, my gentle friends, of all the skins you breed. They have a tasty habit, they eat the hands that bleed. So remember who you say you are, and keep your noses clean. Boys will be boys and play with toys, so be strong with your beast. Oh, Rosie dear, don't you think it's queer, so stop me if you please. The baby's dead, my lady said, you gentlemen, why you all work for me.
Pretending, yeah.
the dip, doing the thing. Ending off this hour of World Cafe, thank you again to Glenn Hansard and Marketa Erglova of The Swell Season, as well as World Cafe senior producer Kimberly Junod for her work on that session. Also, thank you to our affiliates all across the country, including 89.7 The River, serving Omaha. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. My name is Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. And by the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.